As Jon Stewart likes to say, he's a comedian, and his show is great. And every Tuesday morning, I go find the YouTube version of his opening monologue for The Daily Show? I think that's what it's called. Anyway, he's a comedian, and he's great. And I'm glad he's back. I laugh out loud, even when he does and says things that I think are, reprehensible. Yeah, this is reprehensible. Yes, I do think he should shut the fuck up. And I think that people who occupy special places with a tremendous amount of power on television and on the op-ed page of the New York Times, they should shut the fuck up too. Unless they're willing to let other points of view come in, which they're not. The New York Times op-ed page is very consistent. And Biden needs to get out, and he needs to get out now. What replaces Biden, that they have absolutely no idea. Not the slightest clue. And I don't think they've thought it through. I don't think they know how to think things through. I think these are people shooting from the seat of their pants. And what they are calling for, well, that's going to be, I don't know, somebody else's problem. They'll find a way for it not to have been their fault once the whole thing completely falls apart. Maybe they're too young. Maybe it is. They just don't remember, or they didn't study history. They don't remember Jimmy Carter and Ted Kennedy, or Ross Perot and Bill Clinton, Ralph Nader and Al Gore. Our problem isn't Joe Biden. Our problem is that we don't have any organization for the democracy. We don't have organization. We don't even have an effective get-out-the-vote process in the Democratic Party. We just sort of roll the dice and hope for the best. Even though it's the most incredibly one-sided election ever. It just gets more and more ridiculous. The fact that Bush got reelected, that was the fault of this exact same group of people doing exactly the same bullshit. So naive about, they don't even understand what we're up against here. What we need is organization. We need people to be involved in the process. Not pundits, not people who get to write on the op-ed page, not Nate Silver. I can't believe fucking Nate Silver. Nate Silver was a voice of intelligence and analytics and mathematics. And, you know, if you take the scientific method approach to this thing and ask yourself what happens after we get rid of Biden, you have the biggest fucking fight in an incredibly short period of time, and one mistake in that whole thing, and that becomes the soundbite for the entire election, given the system that we have right now. If we had a better system, one where people were organized, and we would have, all of us have a way of participating in this decision, it might be worth a shot, but we don't have that. All we have is the process that we have, and the process we have spit out a result that you don't like. Honestly, I don't like it either. I don't like it. But I don't like what the alternative is I like it even less. They had a thing in the New York Times yesterday from James Carville, who is a very interesting interview, and he played a role in getting Bill Clinton elected. I don't know what that role was. He's a lot of credit takers out there. People don't bother to argue with them. he could, for all I know, be one of those people who just managed to be in the right place at the right time for one election. And he's very eloquent, and he's cantankerous, and he's from New Orleans, and he's lovable, and he's out of his fucking mind. The thing that he proposed is, well, we'll just throw all the cards up in the air and pray that they come down in an order that we can actually represent. Well, having thought it through, and I've written about this, it's never appeared on the op-ed page in the New York Times. Not that anybody that disagrees with the New York Times could ever get space on that op-ed page. Our problem really is the New York Times, by the way. Remember Hillary's emails? I do. That's how we got Trump in the first place. And they're leading this cause. Like, you couldn't get a word in edgewise. Okay, so, first of all, we all knew this was coming. Nobody didn't know. Every time Biden got up to give a speech or an interview or anything, we were all sitting on the edge of the chair, hoping and praying this wasn't the time that what happened in the debate happens. Every time. It's just a complete crapshoot when it was going to happen, and this is when it happened. So what do we do if he dies? I mean, he's 81 years old. He does not look to be very strong. He could have a stroke. He could become disabled, or he could die, and it could happen at a very inconvenient time. It could happen before the election. It could happen after winning the election. I don't know. I know that we have a vice president in this country for a reason. And we voted for the vice president that we have now. And that is the person who has to be the replacement for the president if they become disabled or if they die. And that is what we have to do. I don't think there's any... And we're lucky to have that. If we didn't have an obvious choice, then what we would have is we would have a fight like Ted Kennedy versus Jimmy Carter. And you know what happened. Or let's go another few years earlier. You had Eugene McCarthy, Robert F. Kennedy, and Hubert Humphrey. Well, we got Nixon. When you had Ted Kennedy and Jimmy Carter, you got Ronald Reagan. You got Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. If you recall the Bernie people at the convention, I was so angry at those people. It was like, okay, you didn't get what you wanted. Like, nobody did. We got what we got. And you're going to be stinkers about this thing now? You're going to bring down, you're going to give us Donald Trump instead of Hillary Clinton? Really? They had people saying that, you know, he wouldn't be any worse than Hillary Clinton would be. Well, you still feel that way? Ridiculous. I mean, yes, they're entitled to feel that way. We don't have to set that up, though. That is what we're going to be dealing with. No matter who gets nominated, there's going to be half the people. I mean, and what a process. Do you remember how upset the Bernie people were that the insiders had all the votes of the insiders were going to Hillary Clinton? Even though, by the way, that she would have won the nomination even if there were no insiders, if I recall correctly. How are they going to feel about this one? How are we going to feel about it? Never mind they. I'm one of the people that has no voice in this thing. And I'm telling you, if the insiders, and you know, Biden calls them the elite, it's a perfectly reasonable thing to call them. Biden, for all of his disabilities, is much better attuned to the reality of this situation. than all the supposed brilliant people at the New York Times who are really, I don't know how they sleep at night. Nobody elected them, of course. We don't even know who they are. We certainly can't vote them out. That's why they should shut the fuck up. They've done it. They've done enough. They've raised the issue. It's out there, and that's it. Now they have to return to journalism and cover the story. And the story is pathetic. Story is, you know. All right, so Biden has a stroke. Biden gets disabled. Biden dies. It's Kamala Harris. I have reservations about Kamala Harris. But that's it. That's who she, that's who we chose to be his understudy. Maybe next time we choose an understudy, we should think a little bit more about how good they would be as a president and how electable they would be if they were called on to fill in for the president in the next election, which, by the way, was kind of our understanding, too. If you don't make it Kamala Harris, then you've got another Bernie situation. She is Bernie. And the people that are pissed off are people you really don't need to piss off, for the Democratic Party can't piss them off. They are the Democratic Party. They're the core constituency. They're the ones that are dependable Democratic voters. There aren't really that many other types of people, citizens, voters, that are that dependable. And sorry, you don't get to piss them off. Not when the vice president is one of them. No, I've written this in other places on my blog that this is the typical superficial journalism solution. It is no solution whatsoever. It leaves us, if Joe Biden is the nominee and Joe Biden wins, we're still left with the same problem. 4 years from now, we'll just face the same situation again. Only it'll be a lot worse, because we'll have to live 4 years with the Supreme Court that we have. We're also, by putting the sole focus on this, we're failing to get any kind of idea out there of what we will do if we win this election, other than just, you know, keep the seat warm. What are we going to do about the Supreme Court? What are we going to do about climate change? How are we going to get majorities in the Senate and the House? Did I say climate change? I don't know if I did. It may not have been a very wise thing for us to nominate an 81-year-old person, but that's what we did. The New York Times could have done the hard work and recruited a candidate, could have raised the issue prior to the primaries. That would have been the responsible thing to do. That would have been the respectful of the democratic process thing to do. And that isn't what they did. And then there was plenty of call to question their ethics and what is really going on there, and the lack of transparency. Because this is at least the second time we've dealt with this. We had the Hillary's emails, and now we have Biden's age. And this is just simply going to give us Trump. So the thing to do, okay, so I'm here at the end of this little podcast, and the thing to do is, as John Stewart mocks, is for them to shut the fuck up. Let us deal with this. And when I say us, all of us, and not by polls, let us organize right now. Let us use the 4 months we have to win the election, regardless of who the nominee is. that takes the pressure off of everything. With that, if we could manage to get ourselves organized prior to the convention, I mean all the voters organized, then you pretty much can do whatever you want at the convention. As long as everybody felt like they had a voice and they were represented in this, and that this was a democratic process and it wasn't controlled by the elites, I don't think that the New York Times gets how despised the elites are in this country. And it isn't just Trump that feels that is exploiting that. I mean, it's not just Trump voters that feel that way. It's the Democratic voters too. We're sick and fucking tired of you assholes grabbing the steering wheel and pretending like you have any ability to run this country or any right to run the country. Not being elected gives you a vote. It doesn't give you the right to run it. And you're missing that. You're fucking tone deaf on that. You feel so proud of yourselves. You figured one thing out. One that was completely obvious that everybody else figured out. Great. What happens next? You haven't got a frickin' clue. That's the reality.